Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy sports and politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy sports and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on. Peace.
I want winners.
Go down again. Wild. Nobody in the middle of the field, so a technical grounding can be called even when the play is deep downfield. A safety. How about that? Clock all the way down to zero, and the pass in the end zone is doesn't been caught.
And Gostowski, one of the best in the league, from 29 yards away, and the kick is good to get the Patriots on the board.
Brady moving and looking and has time, and it throws, and that is caught for a touchdown by Woodhead.
Second and a deuce.
And over the middle, getting free. Touchdown, Hernandez.
Four-man run.
Eli going into traffic on the sideline. They had a rule to catch by Manningham. And Bradshaw, and he wanted to stop. He wanted to stop, and he gets into the end zone.
Hello, 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 everyone, and welcome to the FSB Crew Show. I am your humble host, JT, that's joined by my co-host, Jeff, and of course, a jubilant Giant fan, Jeff the Joker. And as always, we're here once again to engage in conversation and relay to you information about the world of fantasy and sports and politics as we know it. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. Say that again for you, for those who are hard of hearing or didn't catch it the first time, 347-637-3220. We also have a chat room. The chat room is for your pleasure. Comment, question, statement, whatever you like. Put it in the chat room. If you want to address it on air, we can do that, or we can address it through the chat room with you. Like I said, this is the FSP. Like I said, that we're going to be talking first about, of course, this past Sunday, February 5th, was the Super Bowl 46, the Patriots versus the Giants, the rematch of Eli and Tom Brady, the rematch of the Giants once again in the Super Bowl with the Patriots, and once again the Giants came out on top to the displeasure of Giselle, who has some choice words to say about Mr. Brady's receivers, needless to say. But he gave him a big hug after the game. I'm going to bring in my co-host because I know he can't wait to talk about his Giants. And I'm going to tell you this, Joker. on this program, I picked the Giants to win. On the program on FSP on Saturday, I thought about it again, and I went against my pick, which I should have stayed with, and I didn't waver on my pick when I had the show on Sunday, which I was kicking myself in the tail when I, you know, when I'm thinking about it, that I should have stayed with my pick, being that the Patriots, like I had said weeks ago, had only beat one team, only one, no, had not, oh, they only beat one winning team all year. None in the regular season, and the only team they beat that had a winning record was the Baltimore Ravens. The Giants, I'm just amazed, but I thought the defense, like I had said before, would come to rise to the occasion, and Eli did his thing in the fourth quarter. Joker, I'm going to bring in Black, but I want you to express how you feel, what you were going through, what you were doing on Super Bowl Sunday, and how you celebrated with your team after the fact. Talk to me, Joker. The floor is yours.
Where do I begin? Yeah. Oh, yeah, they played a game on Sunday. That's right. Yeah. What was that, the Pro Bowl? What was it, the Arena Bowl? I'm telling you, you know, I should become a psychic. Now, I don't believe in that nonsense, but if you go to the archives, at the end of last week's show, I nailed the Super Bowl. Not only did it, you know, say take the Giants in the under, but I nailed the proposition bets, too.
Is that right?
Yeah. Kelly Clarkson, midriff covered. I said take the over on the anthem. I don't know how long that was. And I said Madonna would have blonde hair. The thing is, regarding the Patriots, this Patriots team was not as strong as some of the past Patriots Super Bowl teams. And, you know, she should have kept her mouth shut. You know, Giselle's a celebrity. She should know better. But her analysis was pretty much on the money. I mean, not only, you know, Tom Brady can't catch his own passes, unless it's a deflection. Then he can, but that's rare. But he can't play defense either. You know, he's one man, and they could use a big playmaking receiver. They don't have great corners. They don't have a pass rusher. This team was not nearly as good as the last Patriots team that went to the Super Bowl with similar results. You know, it's weird as a fan, you know, because you know, if your team goes a long time without a Super Bowl, which wasn't the case, you know, there's such a buildup, and then it's almost anticlimactic. And I swear, you know, with Eli at the controls, I was very calm late in the game. Everyone thought it would be a close game, and it was. And, you know, Eli's Mr. Clutch, the aw shucks assassin, you know, and I've liked him a long time. And, you know, and I was a harsh critic early on, but like most, I'm not a New Yorker, but I'm a New York sports fan, you could say that. Like most New York sports fans, unlike some fans like Philly and Boston, as soon as a guy starts to play, they get off his back. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's what I don't understand when you see some of these fans. A guy's playing decent and they're still on his case, and that doesn't make any sense to me. I'm a little tired. You know, of course, you know, I think because it's such a big game and you have so much time to discuss, there's a lot of wouldas and couldas, which is okay in moderation. And already they're talking about Eli's legacy, which, you know, Super Bowl MVPs, that's an elite club. And already, you know, he's 31 years old. Hopefully he's got a lot of football ahead of him, and they're talking about Hall of Fame. And he's on that path. But why, you know, 31 years old, you know, young for a quarterback, to start talking about a Hall of Fame is ridiculous. And some people make it sound like it's guaranteed. And it surprised me how few people mention in that discussion Jim Plunkett, who, you know, starting quarterback for two Super Bowl wins, was MVP of one of them, had 25,000 career passing yards in an era much different than the current era, and he's not in the Hall of Fame. So if Eli retires tomorrow, there's no guarantee he's going in the Hall of Fame. And it just, they should just put that conversation on the sideline for a while. But I guess that's, you know, what you talk about after the Super Bowl. But for Coughlin, this might put him in the Hall of Fame. If Mark Levy's in there, how could you deny Coughlin at this point? And I've been a critic of Coughlin, but I can't be critical of the results.
Okay.
And, you know, and this is my favorite woulda, coulda, shoulda. Is Black coming on?
Well, whenever you finish, and I'm not rushing.
Sorry, go
whenever
ahead.
You finish, I was going to bring in Black, but
yeah,
I was
bring
waiting
on, bring
for
him
you.
On.
Okay. Well, we've been having a third wheel, been missing in action for a few weeks because of some health issues. I'm hoping when I bring him on, he is fully healthy again and ready to go. I'm talking about our third person that handles the duties here. We're talking about Black the Bookie, the man from the D.C. area. Talk to me, Washington. Are you there?
What's going on, fellas? Clean bill of health. I'm back in the building, man. Feeling real good.
Welcome back.
Thank you, thank you. Congratulations
Black.
On your Super Bowl again, my friend.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It's been a while since your favorite team, the Cowboys, have won one, but you know, hopefully. Well, I don't mean it. I'm being honest, but you never know. Of all the non-playoff
back
teams,
building and I'm getting jabbed down already.
Yep.
of all the non-playoff teams, they might have the best chance to go into the Super Bowl.
Don't be surprised if we pick up your brother's quarterback. Don't be surprised.
You know, but they have so much invested in Romo, that would surprise me. And, you know, I actually was thinking about Dallas regarding Peyton, what's the connection, that Peyton's neck surgery, similar to what Brad Johnson had. And I remember Brad Johnson's arm was not there late in his career. And, unfortunately, that might be the case for Peyton. And if you sign Peyton, Romo's going to go off the deep end.
That's what I need him to do. I need him to go off the deep end. I need him to know that there's competition back there. I need him to just step it up.
Well, we'll talk about Manning right now. Let me put it that way. From what I understand, from what I've been reading, his arm strength is not there. He can't throw to his left, meaning he can't throw across his body. And it's supposedly going to be a long process. And whenever he gets released from Indianapolis, I think a team is going to wait deep into the summer to see how he progresses and bring him in for a workout or whatever to decide whether they want to take a chance, be it the Redskins, be it the Cowboys, be it the Arizona Cardinals, or the Seattle Seahawks, teams that have been talking about it. They're going to wait and see what happens, but he's going to be probably be talked about from now. He has been talked about all season, after the season, during the playoffs and the Super Bowl, and he's still going to be talked about even after he gets released, because I mean, four-time MVP. I mean, he's one of the all-time quarterbacks. If he's healthy, which may be a long process, there's going to be a line 10 deep trying to get him to come to their team. So we have to wait and see what happens. But I don't put it past any team that has the the ingredients to make a serious run for the Super Bowl to go after Peyton Manning to put them over the top. So, so all quarterbacks except for the Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees or Tom Brady, all quarterbacks be on the lookout for your team wanting to get Peyton Manning because, you know, those three are the safest ones I can think of, and Eli Manning are the safest ones I can think of. Any of the other ones, if the owner has an inkling, and I left out Miami, the owner really is infatuated with Peyton Manning, so he likes the glitzy type players, the marquee players, and he may make a run after at Peyton Manning in the haste.
You better be careful of buying damaged goods. You better be careful.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. But this guy, he wants to make a splash in the worst way, and he may be one of these type of Daniel Snyder type of guys that won't listen to his coaches or his president of personnel, or player personnel, or GM. He goes out on a limb like, and I can't believe I can't remember this guy's name, the owner of the Knicks.
Dolan.
What's the owner? Dolan.
Dolan.
It's like Dolan went and didn't listen to Donnie. And went after Carmelo Anthony and gave way too much up for Carmelo. So this may happen to the people in Miami. You never know. I don't know what you guys think about that, but if anybody has an opinion, you can express it now.
If you're telling me that Peyton can't throw across his body right now, I don't think any team is going to jump out there. Any team at all.
You got any opinion on that, Jeff?
Yeah, you know, it's just such a serious injury. And, block it the nail on the head. It's a high price to pay for, quote, damaged goods. It really is. Very few NFL players are fully healthy at 36 years old. But if this was just a simple arthroscopic knee surgery, I could see teams throwing money at this guy. And it's hard to imagine Peyton being in this situation, but if, you know, he can't, you know, get it together physically at this point, he'd have to sign a contract with a lot of incentives. I can't see this happening, but if his injuries and price tag scare the other team, Giants could use a backup. And I don't mean it as an insult, you know. I'm sure the only guy he would back up is Eli. And the thing is, let's say, unlikely that no team would take the chance on him. But if he needs another year to rehab, he's better off doing that on a roster than on his own. Because NFL teams have top-notch facilities. They have the best physical therapists. And I've heard this from NFL players. They say, you know, an injury that could take you months to rehab on your own, if you're on an NFL team, they could rehab it in half that time, maybe less, you know.
Right,
so,
right.
It's hard to imagine Peyton Manning holding a clipboard for anyone. And it'll probably be some unwise owner, like the Miami owner. Too risky. The only thing I could think of that was similar was Joe Montana late in his career when he went to Kansas City. And as much buzz as that created, they had to keep David Craig because Montana couldn't play every game.
You guys remember Donaria McCants, our former guest, former Washington Redskins receiver, former Eagle receiver. He was telling me that the type of injury that he has, we're not reptiles, we're human beings. When the nerve goes, you're not going to be able to regrow that.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think when we first heard about this, that's just one of the things I had said, that my sister is a nurse, and She tells me the nerve, if it's not completely gone, it can regenerate. But if it's completely gone beyond a certain point, it's not coming back. Nerves don't do that. So that's one of the things in the human body that doesn't regenerate itself. Nerves don't regenerate. So it all depends on the level of degeneration he's had, if that nerve is going to be able to come back or not. And everybody's different. Everybody's body is different. And he could be a quick healer or he could be a slow healer. And if he's a slow healer, quite naturally, his playing in 2012 may be at jeopardy also. So, it's going to be very interesting to watch, and a lot of attention and media hype or media attention is going to be on Peyton Manning, along with a lot of other name players that are going to be available via the unrestricted free agent venue that way. And I'm surprised, and supposedly, from what I've been reading in New Orleans, the talks with Drew Brees have been slow for some odd reason. Let me digress for a minute. I just happened to read this.
So who do you think had a harder time watching the Super Bowl, Gisele Bündchen or Billy Kundiff?
Well, Gisele had better seats.
I would think since her old man was, in fact, in the Super Bowl, she probably had a not as hard a time. Well, she probably had a harder time because the game was close, and one play one way or the other could have changed the tide of the game. So I think she probably had a harder time than Billy Kundiff. Kickers have a tendency to have a short memory. They have to. They're supposed to be built that way. It's not that he's so inconsistent. It's not the first big kick he's missed. So
Jerry, you gotta say like real Jersey stuff. With all due respect, you know, you gotta say like that, you know, right before you slam somebody.
But it's the truth. He's one of the I don't know the statistics. I don't know the statistics, but he is not a high percentage kicker. I'm really surprised that he's been with the Ravens for the amount of years he's been with them. I think he's been with them 2 or 3 years. I'm really surprised because he's not a consistent kicker, and it showed up missing a chip shot, basically a chip shot.
Yeah, I know most of the Ravens players were kicking themselves watching the Super Bowl. That was their chance to be there. Definitely
yeah.
Their chance to be there. I didn't expect New England to go, but they happened to go. Well, once they went, I knew that it was the Giants Super Bowl to win. Once the Giants beat us, actually, I already knew they were going to make their way to Indianapolis. But that had to be hard to watch if he was a Ravens player or a Ravens fan.
Well, I mean, if you look at the final analysis, and I said this a few times, you look at the final analysis, and New England had one of the easiest schedules in the NFL this past year, being that they didn't play, they didn't beat one team that had a winning record, except for in the playoffs, and they barely, and it had to come to Billy Kundiff for him to pull off that win. So, I should have stayed with my pick, Black. I kicked myself. I should have stayed with my pick. I had originally picked on this show, the Giants, and I already said that because of the defense. And I went against myself.
Why did you do that?
I have no idea why I did that. It must have been the Tom Brady factor and not giving enough respect to Eli Manning.
Tom Brady
and realizing.
Tom Brady has not been a factor since Videogate. Get that through your head.
Brady looked pretty good for most of that game. you know, like Giselle said, he can't do it all. I don't blame Brady. He didn't have a lousy game. I guess the big glaring mistake was at the beginning of the game, the grounding. And my first thought, when I saw that flag fly, I thought, if that is for roughing, oh, I'm going to die. You know, there's people who thought that call, it was questionable because they said, well, what if the receiver cut off the route, which is possible, but...
There was no receiver within 20 yards of that ball.
Yeah. And, Go ahead.
I'm surprised. I was really surprised when the ref threw the flag late. I, like you, Jeff, thought it was something on the defense. And when they said it was intentional grounding, I was like, and I shook my head and gave the Giants 2 points because he was in the end zone. I said, oh my God, this is what the heck is going on? Let me put it this way. I can't recall ever seeing that call in the regular season or the playoffs up until that point. That type of call where he just threw the ball down the field and they called intentional grounding. So I was very surprised they made that call. It was a gutsy call by the refs. It was the right call by the refs, but I'm really surprised that they made that call because you very rarely see that called in a game under those circumstances. Now, you know, quite naturally, he throws it 30 yards down the field and nobody's within 10, 15, 20 yards of it. That isn't intentional grounding, but how often does that get called during the season or in the playoffs? And not even talking about the Super Bowl. So that to me was a gutsy call by the refs to actually decide to call
that. It was the right call to make because Tom Brady held on to that ball the second longest. It would have been the sack for a safety anyway.
Yeah, that's true, too. Because Justin Tuck was breathing down his neck, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Anyway, speaking about your team, Jeff, I'm reading a couple things on three things. Right? It's happened. I'm looking right now on ProFootballTalk.com. The first thing is says Victor Cruz, and it's a quote. I feel like I deserve to be paid more money at this point.
Oh boy.
Oh boy. Yes. And this is another headline. Pierre Paul thinks Giants should give OC what he wants.
Oh boy.
Oh boy. Hold on. And then this is another one because I wanted to bring this up. I just thought about this and I wanted to bring it up. I think it was either that night or the following night on the news, is the NFL Network, if I'm not mistaken, that they reported that Gronkowski and I think Matt Leiters, whoever, was seen partying, had taken videos of them partying on a dance floor like that was the last party of their life. After the Super Bowl, and this is a quote from Victor Cruz. I would have been in my room watching TV, soaking in the moment. It's not every day you make it to the Super Bowl, okay? If he had lost the Super Bowl, this is what he said, and this is a quote. I probably wouldn't have been partying too much after that. So my question to you, and I'll go to Jeff first and then Black. What do you think about Mr. Gronkowski and I forget the other teammate that was there partying hard after a disappointing and brutal loss to the Giants? Jeff, talk to me.
You know, I saw the video. I heard about Gronkowski. My feeling is, you know, everyone is different. The people need to get off this guy's jock, to put it bluntly. I mean, and it's a party. What's he supposed to do? And people handle bad news differently. And this is bad news. It's not a tragedy. Nobody died. As hard as it is, as bad as it is, you got to keep that in perspective. And the fact is, you know, the team booked the celebration party. They didn't win. They still had the party. If you have a serious problem with Gronkowski, then blame the team for still having the party, you know? I mean, it's the party. What's he supposed to do? You know what I'm saying? It's not a big deal to me. And the thing is, it's the end of the season. It's, you know, I think football teams usually have some kind of party at the end of the season because not everybody's coming back. Some guys are going to be playing on different teams, and some guys won't even be playing football next year. And I don't know if his teammates had a problem with it. I don't think they did. And I don't know. It's a big deal about nothing.
Well, didn't we have this same situation at the end of the NBA playoffs last year?
So I
don't really see anything wrong with it. Like Jeff said, you can't. No one died. At the end of the day, you lost a meaningful game that would have brought you glory and the fame and all types of riches. But you lost. I mean, not everybody's going to take it like Tom Brady. You know, Tom Brady took that loss hard. But not everyone is going to. Not everyone's going to be like that. So I have no problem with Gronkowski. Or the guy, who was it, Matt Light?
Yes, Matt Light.
I have no problem with that. It's not every day you make it to a Super Bowl, so I have no problem with those guys.
And the thing about it, I'm glad you brought that up about Brady. Brady did take the loss hard, and so did the Patriot fans. They've been supposedly hammering Brady unmercifully. Hammering Brady, saying he's, I guess he's passed. He's not the same Tom Brady, things like that, and really putting him to task about losing this Super Bowl. So,
what more do they want from a 6-round draft pick?
Hey, you know, when you have
who has a
run
with no defense.
When you have a run like the Patriots have had, and you've got 3 Super Bowls, you've been in 5, they expect you to win every one of them and nothing less. So, I mean, every fan wants that to happen, but Patriots fans are spoiled. I can't say it any other way. They're spoiled. So, you know, when they don't win, They got to point the finger somewhere, and the quarterback doesn't get enough credit when he wins, and gets all the blame when he loses. So
that's totally unfair by the Patriot fan base. Come on, guys, wise enough.
Okay, now I had said 3 headlines. One was about the cruise about partying, and the other 2 were about players on their cruise being one of them. About getting paid, but I'll go to OC first. Jason Pierre-Paul says, I quote, "I think it's very important," and he told this to Mark Hale of the New York Post about OC. "Give him what he wants, man." Now, this is the classic after Super Bowl, I want to get paid type of thing. And OC, quite naturally, he was unhappy about his current contract. For the most part, I wouldn't say for the most part, for all season, even though he kept quiet about it after a certain point in the beginning of the season. And now you got Mr. Cruz, because he's had a prolific 1 year that he thinks he deserves to get paid now. I'm going to go with Jeff first. Jeff, Mr. Cruz thinks I should be paid now.
More money, more money. You know, I can't blame him because, you know, he tears up his knee. He's out of luck. Nobody's taking out a collection for him. I mean, he just became a father, so I'm sure he's thinking about his family. You know, I mean, everyone thinks about their family, but because, you know, he just became a dad, I'm sure that's on the top of his mind. You know, I can't blame him. And in the real world, you know, it's, you know, contract's supposed to be a deal, but in the NFL, if you outperform that contract, then that frequently will get you a new one. I hope it doesn't cause a holdout because so many times a lengthy holdout usually leads to a horrible season. And the thing is, do I want OC to get paid? Of course. I want everyone to get paid, including myself. But there's a tight cap, and there's only so much they can pay to so many guys. And, you know, like Giant fans, I'm down with JPP. And, of course, you know, he wants his teammates to get paid. But I'm sure if somebody said to him, hey, Jason, we got to take a little money from your contract
so we can make
OC happy, he would say, get the F out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, you know, when OC signed, which at the time was a very long contract, I think it was an 8-year contract.
Right.
I mean, come on. That's a little too long. And, you know, I like OC a lot. I mean, as a player, and I think maybe he's a little misunderstood as a person, but, you know, what do you expect when you sign an 8-year contract? But at the time, it looked good, and it's a whole different world. It's not the world most working people live in. And you know, I don't resent these guys for the money they make. It's supply and demand. They make the money. It's like me, watch the games and go to the games and whatnot. If we all gave up on these guys would get the money, I have no issue with it. But some of these guys got to understand the ramifications of the cap, and this is the cap that they voted on. I mean, maybe some of the guys weren't in the league, but they agreed on it, they voted on it. If they don't like it, then, you know, they should take that up with the Players Association.
Black?
If I'm Pierre Paul, I'm piping it down because I'm still going through my rookie contract, which probably should be up about next year, and I'm going to be looking to get paid. So you want to save some of that OC money. You want to tone that down a little bit, PP. Don't get caught up in the hype of the Super Bowl. Let that man work out his contract deal. Your money is coming next year. Tone that down. I'm handing Victor Cruz a new contract, man, and a bag of salsa chips.
Well, curiously, Black, in that same article, He addressed just what you was talking about. Pierre, he said he had no similar concerns regarding his own deal. This is a quote from Pierre Paul. I don't too much focus on that. If it was up to me, I'll play my whole contract out. I just go out there and play football, and I'm okay with that. I got drafted last year, first round, 15th pick, and I'm happy. I'll support my family, buy my family a house, and then buy me a house, and everything will be financially stable. All I've got to worry about now is football, just to play great football. Just like you said, Black, he received a first-round contract in the final year, the first-round windfalls. So he got a nice contract before this round of collective bargaining changed all that. So OC, on the other hand, is finishing up a deal after he signed following his entry into the league as a second-round pick in 2003. So just like you said, he's finishing up an 8-year contract, which is unheard of, an 8-year contract, unbelievable. And he's looking to get paid, and there's going to be more guys that are looking to get paid too, so because that's just the natural progression of a Super Bowl team that just won. Guys that perform well in that season now want to get paid because this is their time to get paid because they won the Super Bowl. We'll see what happens. Good luck, Jerry Reese. That's the con of all the pros that you have of winning the Super Bowl. The one con is none of these guys want to get paid, and you can't pay everybody. I'm looking at a list of restricted and unrestricted free agents, and the unrestricted free agents in all these positions is unbelievable with the named people. There's going to be a lot of people moving around in the NFL that are going to surprise a few people. Anyway, we got about 19 minutes left in the show. I wanted to talk about what's your guys' opinion on let me play this clip first and then ask you about your opinion on this. It would be where is it at here? Oh God. There it is.
And I am pleased to announce that the class of 2012 members of the Pro Football Hall of Fame are as follows: Jack Butler, Dermonte Dawson, Chris Dolman, Cortez Kennedy, Curtis Martin, and Willie Rolfe. Six new individuals will be enshrined in camp.
Okay, guys. That was one running back, four linemen, and I'm not too sure who Jack Butler is. Other guys that were eligible quite naturally were Chris Carter, Tim Brown, Andre Reed, Jerome Bettis, and Coach Bill Parcells. Those last few guys, all those guys, didn't get in. I'm surprised. I'm very surprised. Last year's excuse was that there were too many wide receivers, that they were only going to take one wide receiver last year. Well, this class has four linemen, one running back, and I don't know who. Like I said, I'm not sure if you guys, maybe you guys can tell me, but I'm not sure who Jack Butler is. What's the excuse this time that no wide receiver was elected into? Out of the people that didn't get in, Jerome Bettis, Chris Carter, Bill Parcells, Tim Brown, Andre Reed, and that's all. Who do you think should have taken their spot from one of these linemen, or who's more deserving to get in of those guys that didn't this year? I'll go to Black and then Jeff. Oh, we lost Black. Talk to me, Jeff.
You know, I think everybody has a player or two who they really think should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And, you know, I'm at the point where I'm okay with that, because I'd rather see it be too picky than not picky enough, because it's the Hall of Fame, not the Hall of Very Good Player. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And Wagner, I'll be honest. When I first heard the name, it didn't ring a bell. He played in the 50s for the Steelers. Jack Butler.
Okay.
That was a little bit of a surprise. I mean, that's a totally different era. My theory is, with the logjam at receiver, Tim Brown, Chris Carter, Andre Reed, I think those guys are canceling each other out. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's just that they're competing with each other, I think, a little bit, and that might hurt. If it was just one of them, it'd probably be easy, but because there's three, and they don't want to probably put in all three in the same class, that might have something to do with it. And, I mean, the other guys, the thing is that makes it hard about football, you have some players like offensive linemen, and their stats are hard to quantify. It's not based solely on stats. Dermonte Dawson was excellent center. I remember him. Dolman was, you know, game changer, rushing the passer. Cortez Kennedy probably should have got more recognition, but he played up in Seattle, which I think hurts guys. Curtis Martin, excellent, very solid running back. He had to wait a couple of years to go into the Hall. I think it's because he really wasn't flashy. You know what I mean? He
right.
doesn't have a great highlight reel, but the production's there. Willie Rofe, one of the best all-time offensive linemen. I think that's his first time on the ballot, so he's where he belongs. I mean, I really think Chris Carter, Tim Brown, it's just a question of when. Parcells, I think the issue is there's still probably a lot of people who don't think he's retired yet because he could still be an executive with a team. So I think that might be why they're waiting because they don't want to put him in the Hall until he's retired for good and they believe it. People complain about the Hall of Fame that the criteria for induction isn't quite clear, but maybe it's apples and oranges. But the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is an absolute joke. And I wouldn't go as far to say that about the Pro Football Hall of Fame. At least it still has some credibility.
Right. Black, you back?
Yes. The tuna, Parcells will get in. That's no problem. Parcells will get in one day, not right now. Andre Reed, Tim Brown, Chris Carter. Like Jeff said, it's hard to indistinguish between the three. Andre Reed is a good system wide receiver up there in Buffalo. Tim Brown, great numbers with the Raiders. Chris Carter, great numbers with the Vikings. None of those guys won the Super Bowl, I don't believe.
And that's a good point because look at all the Steelers in the Hall of Fame. Yes, great franchise, especially in the 70s. But those four Super Bowls have a lot to do with it, and that really helps get guys in the Hall of Fame. That's why there's more similar teams. There's more 70s Steelers in the Hall of Fame than 70s Cowboys. And if you want to look at a guy in the Hall of Fame without the big numbers, and it's not just number, it's Lynn Swann. He didn't play that long, I think 8 or 9 seasons. Even for his era, his numbers weren't impressive, but he was a big play guy. He was a big game guy, 4 Super Bowl rings, MVP of one of them. The guy was like a human highlight reel. But if you look at his numbers, you're like, no way. If he wasn't doing it for the Steelers, there's no way he'd be in the Hall of Fame.
I think I saw a statistic somewhere that Tim Brown had better numbers than John Stallworth and Lynn Swann together. I think I saw the statistic or something like that to that effect. And so I mean that sounds like it's dependent on those guys getting into the Hall of Fame because of Super Bowl rings versus their statistics. Is that what you're saying, Jeff?
No, it helps. It helps a lot. But also,
okay.
There's other issues, I think, when you think about, to me, and I think I'm not the only one, when you think about Hall of Fame, as excellent as Tim Carter was, he wasn't dominant. Part of his statistical excellence was he played a long time, you know, but he wasn't dominant. I don't remember him ever one year, him being an elite wide receiver, like let's say now, you know, Calvin Johnson, Andre Johnson, Fitzgerald. But he wasn't quite one of the elite, but he was a very good, very productive wide receiver for a very long time. There's some guys like that. They, you know, in baseball, especially, they call them compilers. You know?
Right. Yep.
But they're, you know, look at, you know, I'm trying to think of a guy who stuck around a long time but isn't a Hall of Fame. Irving Fryer. Yeah. He had good numbers, but a lot of it had to do with the fact he played 15 years.
Steve Largent, Al Toon.
Yeah.
There's any number of guys you can name.
Well, the thing is that Largent, though, you know what helped him? He got a lot of publicity for having that streak and whatever. So that helped his cause. You know, I guess, you know, but the rings definitely helped guys get into the Hall of Fame. There's some great wide receivers who aren't in the Hall of Fame. Henry Ellard, 13,000 receiving yards. He's still waiting for the call.
Yeah.
There's some others.
I just thought I'd bring that up because the fact is I can't remember a class of going in with only one running back and four linemen or five linemen. I'm simply stunned by that. Where the voters decided to disregard any other positions except for linemen and one running back. I don't understand. I thought they would put in at least one player from each position rather than load up on one position or one one position and a running back and then have a bunch of linemen go in with that running back. That's like I don't understand it. In the past, I can't recall in the past that happening. I can recall that they had at least one player from each position going into the hall versus a dominant part of the hall getting linemen in there versus skill positions like quarterback or running back and a wide receiver. So it's evenly it evened out from each position, not just one dominant position, which is a lineman. This summer when these guys go in, it's going to be a strange one because they're all linemen, except for a running back. That's strange to me. I mean, I don't know if you guys thought about it or not, but I can't recall when a hall had a dominant position versus spreading the wealth out. So I don't know if you guys got any opinion on that, but I just had to vent that because I happen to be a big fan of Chris Carter, and I thought he should have gotten in a long time ago, and for some reason they decided not to even think about putting any wide receiver in there and take all linemen except for a running back.
Well, you got to be patient, man. You got more years to come. Chris Carter's name will be called again, so just be patient.
Yeah, well. I think he's been waiting longer than Andre Reed and Tim Brown.
No one's had a longer wait than Art Monk, so I'm telling you to be patient.
Yeah, well, that's true, too. that's true. That's true. How about the one, and I'm trying to think of his name. He waited a few decades to get in. The running back from Denver. What the heck is his name? I can't remember his name.
Floyd Little.
Yes. Yes.
And the thing was, it probably hurt him. He didn't have a lengthy career, but for a few years, he was dominant. And believe me, he practically saved that franchise. He was a great player on a lousy team.
Right. Yeah, you're right about that, Jeff. All right, we got about 6.5 minutes left in the show. What else did I want to talk about here?
I wanted to get something out. A great rivalry ended last night. Thanks, Syracuse, for being the chumps that you are and leaving the Big East Conference. Yes, I said chumps. For agreeing to go to the ACC. Ended one of the greatest rivalries that I've never known since I've been a little boy, Georgetown and Syracuse. Classic nail-biter game last night, winning the overtime. Unfortunately, my Hoyas lost 64-61. We'll be able to get Syracuse back in the Big East tournament, though. But thanks, Syracuse, for leaving the Big East. Thank you, man. Really did me a good favor.
I concur. I don't know if they want to. It'd be nice if they could play each other for an interconference game to keep the rivalry alive. And relatively speaking, it's not an old rivalry. There's only been the Big East, I think, since the late 70s.
But right.
That conference took off quick. I mean, I remember watching, I think it was the first Big East tournament on TV. It was the first year of the Big East. It was so small they were showing it on local TV. They only had like two sponsors. So they kept showing the same two commercials over and over. and they weren't even good sponsors. I'm not kidding. It was like Decon Roach and I think OxyPen Pimple Cream. I'm not joking. This is the humble beginnings of the Big East. But, you know, the thing is, the Big East was such a great thing because East Coast basketball was down for a while because, you know, the 70s and the 60s, a lot of the big schools were out west and down south. You know, it was North Carolina, UCLA, Kansas, and the eastern schools really declined. And I think it was the forming of a conference really catapulted, you know, those schools back to relevance. And I think it's almost something people take for granted now. And now the Big East is going to have like 50 schools for basketball. But I don't like these teams hopping around for conferences. That I could live without. You know, right. More of an issue for football than hoops. But have you guys, probably Jerry has, he's in, you know, New York area like myself, the Knicks finally found a point guard and everybody's going nuts. Jeremy Lin.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to talk about this kid. You know, I'm a Knicks fan. I haven't watched the Knicks play in a while, and a friend of mine has been telling me about this kid. He first got in, I think, last week, and I can't recall what team he got in against, but he scored about 25 points or so and helped the Knicks to a win the first game he got in. And he seems to take John Wall to task last night or whatever he played. So
that was in the summer league. That's, you know, this kid, undrafted, second year man from Harvard. You know, he played in the summer league. He's been cut a couple times. He was with Golden right. State last year.
Right.
And just. Came out of nowhere as much as you could. I mean, the Knicks signed him at the beginning of the season. He doesn't even have his own apartment. He's sleeping on his brother's couch on the Lower East Side.
Really?
Yeah, and the thing is, the Knicks obviously needed a real point guard, not, you know, a combo guy or whatever. And he came off the bench that game. And I've been saying the Knicks, this season especially, they got to have some depth. And, you know, he lit it up coming off the bench, and then he started two games, which he's played great in those two games. The Garden's going nuts for this kid. He's going to be like the Tim Tebow of the NBA. Because also, I don't have a problem with it, but he's Christian. And
right.
He does, and this is odd. I mean, he's a Chinese-American.
Right.
I have no problem with that. But I was reading, and this shocked me, that he faced a lot of discrimination as a basketball player because of his color.
Really?
I mean, it's like you can't help but notice. But anybody who's, you know, got a problem with it, I think just has a problem. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, yeah,
wow.
You notice, but like as soon as the guy starts playing, oh, he's good, okay, whatever, you know.
Right. Okay. For those that don't know, we're talking about Jeremy Lin. He is a second year player from the he used to play last year for Golden State. Let me say this because we have about a few seconds left in this show. Black, it's a pleasure having you back again. I'm glad that you're healthy and everything is well with you. You scared me on Facebook when I first saw that post, like we almost lost you. So I'm glad to hear
you, man,
from you.
I got a clean bill of health now, man, so everything is wonderful.
That's good.
Didn't mean to scare you like that.
Yeah, I saw that post on Facebook and like, oh, my God, what the heck happened? Anyway, This has been the FSP Crew Show. Me being the host, Jerry, along with my two co-hosts, Black the Bookie and Jeff the Joker. Before I close this show out, and we're in overtime now, but that's fine. Before I show the close this show out, is there anything that you guys want to say or get off your chest before we say goodnight to our listening audience?
I want to give a shout out to Doc Rivers, your son, nuts of steel last night in North Carolina, man. Props to you and props to Austin Rivers. Big win for the Dukies in North Carolina last night.
Okay. Jeff?
I got too much to fit into a little bit, but I guess, you know, everybody's all this woulda, coulda, shoulda regarding the Super Bowl, and this is my little woulda, coulda, shoulda. If Plaxico doesn't pop a cap in his leg a few years ago, there's a chance we could be talking about a Giants dynasty. Whatever, you know. But I just hope the Giants could follow up. It's really hard to, you know, have a good season after a Super Bowl because everybody's gunning for you. You got a shorter off season. You lose a lot of guys, yada, yada, a lot of distractions. But the Giants had a very strong follow-up to their last Super Bowl until Plax messed it up. And I hope they could come back strong next year.
Okay. For Jeff, Black, and myself, I want to thank you for joining us tonight. Join us next week, 8 to 9, every Thursday. Join the FSP show at 1 o'clock on Saturday, and the Master Plan on 10 o'clock to 11 on Sunday, and Kim Fung, Compassion Dasani, which happens to be on Tuesday from 4 to 4:30. Like I said, this is the FSP Crew Show. I want to thank you for joining. I'll talk to you guys next week. Have a good week. So long.
Yeah. It's Mr. Encore. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you.